My name's Mike Rowe. And this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
Oh, this is dreadful.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
And guess what he just did to you?
Oh, dear.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs, building a custom home for fish.
Reef balls, so fish and corals and sponges will actually have a habitat to live in.
For a small sea creature, this is a mansion. For a large land mammal like me, it's a dirty job.
Is what I'm doing right now, is this a specific job?
Oh, yeah, the guy that drew the short straw.
Then, dear Mike, a letter from a viewer really gets my goat. And to a farm in Texas where they make soap out of goat's milk.
Everybody gets milk today.
At a place that helps you get clean, leave it to me to find something dirty.
It's pretty ugly.
Whoops. And later, I'm getting tanked in Louisiana.
What is the purpose of a frack tank?
They use the fresh water and fracture the rocks and get them ready to produce natural gas. Some other things may get produced back into the tank.
This job's got it all. Confined spaces, deafening sounds, toxic fumes, and not one, not two, but three uncomfortable outfits.
This is a bad place.
God.
Today I've come to sunny Sarasota to build a reef, an underwater reef. The reef in question will be constructed of reef balls and reef cakes. These, I'm assuming, are reef balls. They're made of concrete, but not just any concrete. This is a pH-balanced, marine-grade, biodegradable concrete with microsilica added. I don't know what that means, but I do know that if you're a fish, it's a great place to call home.
Here at Reef Innovations, they make concrete reef balls and reef layer cakes in all shapes and sizes, for all shapes and sizes of marine life. And, of course, the most important part of reef creation is proper footwear.
Yeah, once again, form and function have come together to create a bold new look in industrial footwear. I learned this little trick from Bob here, who's done the same thing to his feet, and that's Larry over there. Good to see you guys. Why are you making them? What are they made of, and what's the point?
What we have out there is reef balls. They're a designed reef unit that we build for the marine environment, so fish and corals and sponges will actually have a habitat to live in, and we can repair damaged reefs from hurricanes or possibly a shipwreck or something running into a reef.
How long does it take a normal reef to become a reef?
Oh, thousands and thousands of years before what most people see is a tall reef that they can swim along and dive.
It's like a jump start to a real reef. It's a fish house.
It's a fish basically. House. Fish condominium. We're going to start out with making the layer cake, which is a new reef ball design that we build layers for lobsters and crabs and crustaceans and all like it the best.
We're going to have a ball and eat some cake.
Exactly. And before we do that, you're going to make a shell.
These here are triple layers of 1.5 ounces, right? It will be laying around the edge.
This is basically fiberglass, and it's the resin that's going to hold it all together.
Yep. And you want to saturate it up pretty good, and we're trying to wet through three layers of mat.
The fiberglass is saturated with resin, which will eventually harden into a tough shell.
Then we bring these over and set them right along the edges.
Yep. Now, what is it ultimately that's going to kill me, the fiberglass or the resin?
I would say the resin. After a while, it'll start making you angry.
Well, why wait?
Keep them strands pulling directly over your head, and first thing you want to do is pull the trigger and get the part a little bit wet.
Before spraying on more fiberglass, the surface of the shell is prepared with an adhesive. Fiberglass strands are then fed into a gun that sprays shredded fibers onto the shell.
We got it.
Like some sort of albino chia pet.
The final step is evening out the resin and removing air bubbles.
You like that smell?
Honestly, I don't smell it anymore, but I do have a very pleasant ringing in my ear.
Can you still feel your fingers?
No. Fingers are gone. No sense of smell.
Pretty soon you'll start dropping tools.
Yeah. Bob, I'm no expert, but it sure looks like we might be done one panel.
We made it.
And I'm kind of stoned, to be honest with you. So I need to step away from the resin.
I'm a little cloudy-eyed, but I think it has something to do with the glasses.
One thing you don't want to do is make a fish wait for his reef. So out here, the work is pretty much ongoing. Larry, this is the dried version of what I just did.
Yep.
Ultimately, that's what's going to come out. So we're going to be pouring concrete.
We're going to be pouring concrete. And these, as you see stacked around the yard here, are the reef balls. These are what we originally designed and started with. But we are going to let you make a layer cake, just like this. But instead of something this small, we figured, you know, you might be up to a challenge. And you're going to make one that tall.
Well, let's bake a cake then.
All right.
What can I do?
First off,
let's put the molds together.
Got to put the shells up. The pins on the base there is what actually holds it down. So the
concrete
goes
in. So it's on the inside. So these will come in handy when 5,000 pounds of concrete comes flying in and everything's getting
exactly.
pushed out.
Now we want to fill up some sand and some rock.
Yeah.
Robbie and Josh are going to put some rock to make the legs of the layer cake.
Sure.
Put the legs in.
It seems as though he's simply setting a rock on the ground. I'm not brilliant or anything, but I can move rocks.
Like that? This is going to be a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So we'll need four legs on this one. We're going to put another one right here.
Because this is the first layer of the cake.
Right. This is the main base of the cake.
Gotcha.
Short leg.
Just that one right there.
Something like that?
Right. Now what we're going to do is we're going to fill this whole base up with sand up to about right here.
Okay. Oh, look, sand.
Do a bucket brigade.
Spread it all around.
All around the mold, about halfway up the rocks. You'll notice these are very labor intensive. That's why there's not a lot of them around the yard right now.
Yeah.
We pretty much build these per order.
Well, who orders a reef?
Most of it is city and state governments, resort hotels and stuff in different places like in the Caribbean that would like a snorkeling diving reef out back in the sand for their...
So literally your phone rings. Larry. Hey, Larry, we heard you make reefs, yeah? We'd like one. How big? Big. I'll
that
be right
works.
There.
I like that. And we do this all over the world. Right now, we have over 600,000 reef balls and or layer cakes in 56 countries. Our foundation's it's also a public charity. There's a lot of countries out there that don't have a lot of money for doing reef reconstruction, building, like, for instance, Thailand with the tsunami. We went in and actually helped rebuild the reef and collect the damaged corals and reattach them to a reef ball reef so that they would grow again and the fishermen in the villages would still be able to have resources from the marine environment, like fish and crabs and lobsters.
Coming up.
And just so we make sure he doesn't go anywhere, let's lock him in there so he can't escape.
Ask a reasonable question.
Should I have a jumpsuit on at this point?
Get a strange answer.
Then, how exactly does goat milk make my butt better?
I don't know. My great uncle said that.
Getting to the bottom of Fat Bottom.
What kind of butt were you referring to when you sent me the shirt?
I'll let you run with that one.
And later.
Well,
unless there's some sort of new math I'm not aware of,
it would appear maybe you might be going alone.
A job for which I'm a perfect fit.
See, this brings back just a host of unpleasant memories.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and spread this sand around now.
All right.
Your hands work good.
What's the Belize reef called? How are we looking?
We're going to spray this on the mold. What it's going to do is going to create some surface texture like you see on these balls over here. Just hit the inside of the mold just like that if you want to take this and go all the way around.
Yeah, sure. Why sugar water?
The sugar water acts as a mold release, so the mold doesn't stick to the concrete. Now, if you want to go ahead and step up inside there just a little bit more, we've got another shell for you to work on. And just so we make sure he doesn't go anywhere, let's lock him in there so he can't escape.
Perfect. Keep going. You're doing great.
Wow.
Be a little echoing in there.
Are they ringing in your ears stop yet?
No, it never stops. Thought that was the rosin talking. Should I have a jumpsuit on at this point?
Last time I mentioned jumpsuit with this crowd.
A super, that's what they call it? Okay. Got it. Got it.
This corner right here, Mike.
Go through a lot of sand. Have you played in the sand?
Pretty much the last 40 years.
One thing we have to do is sand will repel concrete. So we're going to wash off our top of our concrete pieces right here.
Sure. It's like exposing a part of a tooth that you want to leave behind so the crown has something to stick to. I'm full of amusing dental metaphors. So you're going to pour concrete where I'm standing, and then we're going to put more rocks on top of that, I guess?
Shells.
Rocks and shells.
And then more sand, and then concrete again, and it's just going to layer over layer over layer. What you're on right now is this lower section.
Yeah. So the space here is where the sand is here. And eventually, of course, we'll get the sand out.
Yep.
When the concrete
is put into this space, where am I?
You're going to be in there with it.
Is that them now? Did we get that sinking feeling?
And then as it goes, we use your feet to push it around and spread it evenly.
Good.
I can't chat now. They're going to dump some concrete on me. I'll get back to you.
There you go. Okay.
So this would take how long to harden?
We can take it apart tomorrow. The concrete will actually start to harden in about an hour.
You know, I've lost the rocks. Oh, there's
That's
one.
That's okay.
Yeah. Stick these down in the concrete.
Sure.
Set them up like that in there.
Yeah.
So actually the fish have somewhere they can actually swim into and swim out of.
Oh, so this is like a little room inside the condo.
There you go.
Put the bedroom right over here. Just get it here.
You got to give the place for the little ones to hide, too.
Sure. Definitely want to be careful where you sit.
More connectors in there, and then we'll put
more connectors.
Okay.
There you go, last.
Just like that.
That's good.
And then, and so it goes.
All right.
Right.
Going to work out?
Seems to be.
That's why when we usually do it and you're not here, we put the little guy here in there.
Okay. You ever been to the elephant pen at the zoo?
Narrow,
like that.
Oh, yeah.
Connectors, sand, concrete, shells. Then connectors, sand, concrete, shells. It never stops.
With the exception of those two shells and some sand stuck in my butt, we're almost there. That is a shell, right? More concrete.
It's coming around. All right.
Now, I know you guys are all reef makers, but is this a specific job? You got a name for this?
Oh, yeah, the guy that drew the short straw.
Little sitting room over here, be a parlor, a vestibule, big one right over there.
The higher up in the water we get, the more you get some of the larger fish places to hide. Spread that around.
Right. Any places that have one, just stick it in there.
My butt looks big in these.
So are we done?
Well, you got one more thing to put on the cake. Doc welded it up out of stainless yesterday.
There are going to be some very confused fish down there. Well, I hope the fish appreciate it.
I'm sure they will. Now that you got the icing on this cake, we've got more for you to do.
Sure does. Why would I think I'd be done? So this, then, is a smaller version of the layer cake that we just made right there that's going to be dry, I don't know, when, 20 years from now or something?
Well, with the rain keeps up, probably.
Okay. This has been set and drying for how long?
A couple of days. Pull the panel off. Set it on the ground behind you if you want, so it's out of the way. And just like the big one you did, now you can see all that work you did putting all that sand and that concrete and doing the different layers.
How do you get the sand out?
On the ground, so we can reuse, get some big chunks out.
Just when I was starting to think the dirty part was over. Silly of me, really.
Very respectable reef. Uh-oh, I didn't make it. It was a sand dollar. I just made change.
You know, when you get the sand out and hose this thing down, the real beauty of this job starts coming out, except for the footwear.
Oh, how's it going over here?
Well, it feels a little, I mean, there's sand in the ocean and the reef's going in the ocean. Why do we have to get the sand off the reef?
Well, we just like to try to get it as clean as we can so the fish can move in right away.
Right, they can, you know, leave their security deposit, yeah. Chat it up with the landlord.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, as reefs go, these are very innovative.
Very nice, and you can see the immense amount of habitat that's got. I mean, there's a place for almost every critter out there in the ocean to find a spot to live. Even the little guys that like to hide inside the little shells.
It's very nice. You do good, dirty work, Lair.
Thank you.
But unless I misread the situation, I'm done.
Yeah, you're done.
Pleasure.
Finally, it was time to put the concrete reefs we made someplace where they could do some good, namely in Sarasota Bay. Larry headed up the dive team that guided the layered reef down to its final location on the ocean floor. Once this layer cake reef is finally settled on the bottom, the marine life will start to move in right away. Took a lot of hard work to make you a home, Nemo. Hope you appreciate it.
butt naked.
This is a, I gotta say, butt naked smells good. That's a definite possible.
There may be such a thing as too much freedom of choice.
We have cedar also.
Give me the cedar. It's gonna, I'm gonna smell like a piece of bark.
And later.
Very, very difficult to maneuver inside of one of these things.
When you get tanked, you go through a lot of bars.
That's hideous. Extraordinarily awkward.
Not good.
Got this shirt in the mail a couple weeks ago. It got my attention. The shirt came with the hat. The hat came with the letter. Dear Mike, my name is Ginger Bonnie. I live in Goss, Texas, and I was wondering if maybe you'd like to stop by sometime and meet my goats and take a shower. You might not know it, but the best soap in the world comes from goats, and from what I've seen, you look like you could use a good cleaning. Sincerely, Ginger Bonnie. Some letters are just too weird to ignore. Hello, Texas.
Well, I've done over 150 jobs so far, some dirtier than others. Today, though, is the first time someone's reached out to invite me...
Hello, goats.
...to get clean. Nice to know somebody actually cares.
So, this is Fat Bottom Farms, and that's a goat, and that's Fat Bottom Farmhouse, I suppose, and these are the Bonnies. Hello.
Hi.
You're Ginger.
I am.
I'm Mike.
Nice to meet you.
And you are?
Rebecca.
Rebecca. Mike. And you?
Madeline.
Madeline. Mike. Okay. You got goats.
Yes, we do.
You make soap.
Yes, we do.
And you think I could use a cleaner?
At certain times, you certainly can.
I appreciate the offer. This is not my first day on a goat farm, but I will say that I have no experience at all in making soap. The job at hand is to first what? Get the milk out of the goat? That might work. Everybody got some milk today.
Goat milk is the most consumed milk in the world.
Look at them. I've whipped them into a frenzy.
These Anglo-Nubian goats weigh in at about 125 pounds.
Come on.
Each goat can produce a gallon of milk a day.
Come on, here's a good goat.
Although a goat may be a tenth the size of a cow, don't let her diminutive stature fool you. Pound for pound, goats produce 30% more milk than cows.
Wait for it there, Sparky. I'm thinking goats like to be milked. Who doesn't? How long have you been milking goats? Did you forget the question?
Probably for about 3 years now.
Yeah? How old are you?
11.
You're 11. Now, before you start, let's just get some of the terms straight. What do you call this?
I just call it the bucket.
The bucket. That's good. This, of course, is the goat.
Yeah.
These are your udders?
Yes.
Not your udders, but, you know, your udders.
Yes.
And what's the technique?
Well, you pretty much just grab onto it like that and squeeze like that.
Okay. Uh-oh. Maybe I should have paid better attention. How exactly does goat milk make my butt better?
I don't know. My great uncle said that.
So it's a family secret, basically?
I guess.
The fact of the matter is, goat milk is a natural moisturizer. It contains over 50 different nutrients which nourish and revitalize dehydrated skin.
Hey, Ginger. What kind of butt were you referring to when you sent me the shirt?
I'll let you run with that one. Just like squeezing water out of a water balloon, you have to almost clamp the top off.
Oh, so you're really squeezing from the area that you fill at the last moment.
It has a little vestibule up there. There you go.
You ever eat a goat?
We don't eat the milk goats unless they're little bucks.
Could a milk goat be a buck?
Yeah.
But you can't milk a boy goat,
no,
can you?
No, you can't.
Word got out they were milking the boy goats over at Fat Bottom Farm. The authorities stopped by.
Would you like me to finish that off?
I'm starting to seize up a little.
Now that the milk's out of the goat, we move on to step two.
Oh, it looks like half and half.
Goat milk is thick. The strainer separates the milk from the dirt and hair.
Okay, so the milk has gone from the pot into the tote.
Up until now, getting clean meant grabbing a bar of soap and lathering up in the shower. Not anymore. Now, there's a recipe to complicate things. Castor oil, coconut oil, olive oil, soybean oil, beeswax.
Each oil has a different saponification value, and you have to calculate how much lye to add for each.
I don't know what that word means.
Saponification is the process of soap making, where you add lye to a fat and blend it, and it undergoes a chemical reaction called saponification.
Let's review. Madeline, what is saponification?
Making soap when
there's a fair amount of evidence to suggest that you drifted off again. The lye, the caustic, being mixed in with the necessary oils, that's saponification.
Mm-hmm.
Another word for lye is?
Caustic.
That's correct. And saponification is spelled?
S-P.
Wrong. Sorry. Check back. Coming up, I went with some avocado, touch of almond, splash of apricot, and some sunflower.
A recipe that begs the question, soap or salad?
Is it going to smell too girly?
And later,
sandblasting, huh? Is there a new fashion statement for me?
Having a blast doesn't necessarily mean having fun.
How do you like that?
I don't like that at all.
All Fat Bottom Farm soaps start with castor oil, coconut oil, olive oil, and soybean oil. We'll call these the base oils. Soap making is a science, and like a recipe, measurements must be precise. Once measured, they'll be heated. And in the meantime, I'll choose the conditioning oils.
You can use up to a pound of conditioning oil.
Yes, tell me about the hemp. Will it give me the munchies?
Hopefully not.
Conditioning oils moisturize, soothe, and soften your skin. And since this is my soap, a little extra conditioning won't hurt.
I went with a little hemp, some avocado, touch of almond, splash of apricot, and some sunflower. Good.
Beeswax is added next. It's used for its healing and hardening properties.
To show who's boss.
Mm-hmm.
Tough.
No.
Yeah. No, it's hot.
This recipe calls for 8 ounces of beeswax.
She's only 11.
I lie too often, so.
Then, precautions are needed when working with lye.
Lye will kill you, and that's the truth.
As dangerous as it is, lye is a necessary ingredient. When the lye and the milk are combined, the lye breaks down the fat in the milk to create the basic building blocks, soap and glycerin.
Now, you can probably even feel the heat, and the heat...
Yeah.
It causes the milk to turn orange. Yeah, you can smell the ammonia.
Oh, big time.
Yep.
Wow.
The lye needs about 30 minutes to react with the oils. Just enough time for me to pick my scents.
What's in this? It's just a mystery here.
That is vitamin E. It acts as a little bit of a preservative.
I could use some preservative. All right, I want some calendula, some corn flour.
One benefit of making your own soap is that you can throw in just about anything you want.
Is it going to smell too girly?
And it'll still smell pretty good. It's tough, though, choosing scented oils for my one-of-a-kind manly soap.
Yeah, God, this is for little girls. Look, you just kicked me. That's funny. What's this one? Butt naked. Well, of course I got to smell butt naked. This is a... I got to say, butt naked smells good. That's a definite... Oh, no.
We have cedar also.
Give me the cedar, yes. I'm going to smell like a piece of bark. Patchouli, jasmine, and sandalwood. That's like hippie soap, right?
Yeah, the flower child soap.
A lot of hippies out there.
Hold on.
They should use soap more often.
The mold needs to be set up properly so the liquid won't pour out and make a mess. So gaps and holes are bad.
Yeah.
I'm afraid Madeline messed it up, Ginger. I don't know what she did.
Well, me.
This is what we're wrestling with. See this here? Mm-hmm. Little tiny space right there. Mm-hmm. It looks like it should pop right in.
And it's in.
That's how we do it on dirty jobs.
I like that.
We know the lye and the milk are reacting with each other because it's starting to get chunky. This is all added to the base oils, and the mixing continues. Equipped with an industrial drill and beater, speed things up.
Making soap. Dirty job.
You see how it's beginning to make a little bit of a shape in it when you bring that out?
Right.
You have the very earliest stages of what is called trace.
Trace. And trace is a thickening, congealing thing. Mm-hmm. We need a lot more trace.
We need quite a bit more trace.
I mean, it looks the same to me, but you know, I can tell
because... It's very near trace, and it goes pretty quick. So pick out your fragrances and find your additives here.
It's a lot like cooking pudding. We know we're getting close because it's getting thicker. So now we add all the scents.
Going big with the butt naked. And a little bit of my own sweat. Good.
This recipe will fill these two molds. The good thing is that one of the molds has a liner.
There goes that big.
This helps the soap come out more easily. The not so good thing is that we ran out of liner. So things may get complicated.
It's baby food.
Yep. And it actually smells pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't do too bad.
Well, that's, you know, it's on my business card now. Mike Rowe, he didn't do too bad.
The soap is hardening. Now, what to do on a goat farm?
The proper term for it.
This is too freaking funny.
We're doing good.
Oh! Oh!
I'm okay, just kidding.
Is it okay to drink this?
It's not recommended, but you can do it.
Cool. Her name is Madeline. This is a little game we call Madeline versus Prudence.
Come on.
Oh, geez. Prudence takes one of the jaw. My money's on the 11-year-old girl.
Get out of here. Gosh. Come on.
Ow. Oh, crap. I just sat in something very wet and goat-like. Coming up, what we have here is a rhombus of some kind.
I directed the making of this soap, and I get final cut.
This works nicely with a standard size log.
What we're doing now is what you would call your substandard size log.
And later,
I am going in.
A visit to planet Mars without ever leaving Louisiana.
That's a little slice of hell you got in there. How are we doing?
Pretty good. It has set up nicely.
How do we free them from their confines?
Okay. Yeah. Removing the soap from the lined mold goes smoothly.
It's a big bar of soap. I probably need all of that.
Okay.
A little more of a challenge because it wasn't lined or greased as well. That's my...
Sorry.
This acts as a guide, and you want your guide to be on your best corner.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
The goal here is to divide one big piece of soap into four blocks.
That, like, don't tell me. Don't tell me. There we go, like this, right?
And that's a waste. We use those at the house.
It's pretty ugly. It's pretty ugly. Whoops. What we have here is a rhombus of some kind. Well, it's hard to know how to approach something in this condition.
The shape of the soap may be a dud, but it still makes suds.
Cutting the bars is what comes next. This works nicely with a standard size
logs like those first ones you cut.
What we're doing now is what you would call your substandard size log?
Non-standard, I would say.
Non-standard log. Mm.
There you go.
Available in fine hotels everywhere. Okay. That looks a little more like so.
Pretty good.
That's a rose petal?
Yep.
It's funny how something that looks just like poo can smell like roses. Where can I test it?
Well, there you go. The official dirty job soap. Strong enough for a man. Made from a goat. Today I've come to Benton, Louisiana. Last time I was in this part of the country, I got dirty in a way that I never fully recovered from. I crawled inside a relatively new frack tank and cleaned it. These are frack tanks, by the way. Unfortunately, they are not relatively new. In fact, they've been used and abused to the point where a sane and rational man would throw them away. Bill Camphius, though, is not exactly sane or rational in my estimation. Nice to see you.
Ben Ritchie, Mike.
No offense intended, but my goodness, you refurbish these things?
That's correct.
Just so I'm clear, what is the precise purpose of a frack tank?
The original intended purpose is that they line these up on a well site, and they're actually water storage. They're 500 barrels of water apiece. Takes 20 of them. They use the fresh water to actually pump downhole and fracture the rock in the zones that they're trying to produce and get them ready to produce natural gas.
All right. And why are they so beat up, though? I mean, what's killing them?
Sometimes, even though they're intended for fresh water, some other things may get produced back into the tank.
So that maybe salt water is down there with the oil deposit,
that's
or the
correct.
Natural gas deposit. It comes up and it corrodes these things from the inside
that's right.
out.
If they flow back into the tank, the coating's not rated for that service. When the coating fails, then you get steel failure and therefore leaks.
Well, we can't spend more than a day here, but what can I do?
Well, what we've done is we've staged various tanks so that each one would be in a different part of the operation. And we're going to start you out as a helper, and then if you do a good job as a helper, we'll move you on up to blaster and maybe do some painting before the day's over.
Gotcha. I'm going to take a wild guess and assume all that fluid sloshing around back there is going to be key.
We've got different soaps and degreasers.
And who's this guy dressed conspicuously like
me? Paul Bickham, our yard foreman.
Good to meet you, sir.
Paul, I'm Mike. How are you? Well, Paul, how about beauty before age?
Okay.
Unless there's some sort of new math I'm not aware of, I'd...
It would appear maybe you might be going alone.
Maybe.
On this particular tank, it would appear I will not fit.
Well, this is a lucky day for you, huh?
It would appear so.
Maybe I won't fit either. Maybe we'll just all go home early and, you know, take care of all this in animation.
There you go. CGI.
See, this brings back just a host of unpleasant memories.
Ah. Yeah. Okay. Here's the wand, and make your way towards the front of the tank, and I'll feed the line to you, and I'll meet you at the hole at the other end.
I'll meet you at the hole. All right.
Every 5 to 7 years, some lucky soul gets to climb inside and do this. With proper maintenance, a frack tank can last 20 years or more. The bars are support rods, and they're found only in the older tanks. Without them, getting around inside here would be a whole lot easier, but not nearly as much fun for you to watch.
To maneuver inside of one of these things.
That's hideous. Not good.
Extraordinarily awkward.
Fresh water is pumped out of this tank during the drilling, but salt water and chemicals come back in. Since the tank is made of steel, the result is all this rust, which begs the question, why not use plastic? The answer is because it's not strong enough.
Here's what we're looking at. That's the stuff.
That's why I've been in here 2 hours.
Look at it. I can't even get it to come off the shelf.
This is a bad place.
You had enough?
I had enough about an hour ago, Paul.
There's certain advantages to not being able to fit through the hole.
Yes, there is.
Coming up.
Usually an apprentice, when he first starts out, it takes him about a year and a half to get to the point where you're at right now before they even let him pick up a gun.
A year and a half.
Making your way up the ladder, not always a good thing.
I've been here barely a day. The fumes are making me a little loopy. And I definitely know when I'm outclassed.
Same day, different tank. Time for a new task, sandblasting, and with a new outfit, provided I could get myself out of the old one. Sorry, I just can't wait to get these daggone things off. So this is next?
This is next.
What exactly is, I'm assuming it's the blasting of sand?
Technically, we're media blasting, and the media will be coal slag for the day.
We're going to, under pressure, shoot coal slag.
Through that hose and nozzle.
And why are we doing it?
To remove the old paint and rust.
Is there a new fashion statement for me?
Oh, yeah.
I really like the fall fashion line here in Louisiana.
Can you hear me at all? Oh, cool, okay. Because there's no way he can hear me. I can say anything I want about him, he can't hear a thing. I'm not going to talk too much because it's deafening in my ears. The sound of my own voice is almost too much.
The cold slag comes out of the nozzle at 150 miles an hour. The suit pumps in fresh air while keeping out flying particles. Without it, what the slag is doing to the side of the tank, it would also be doing to my skin and lungs. A new frac tank runs about $50,000. There's a long waiting list. By refurbishing these tanks, Vermilion Painting and Construction is recycling tons of metal every year. And this is just a small part of their operation.
How do you like it?
It's really hard.
The job now is to go inside and sandblast as much as I can.
See what you can do.
I am going in. Ow. And we also have those bars in here as well. So frankly, I'm not optimistic at all about what's about to happen. Okay, want to go in this basic area through here? Why not? Good as any.
What's it like being on Mars during a dust storm? I'm going to say probably a whole lot like what I'm doing right now. I'm wearing something that looks and feels like a spacesuit. I can't see or hear anything, and I'm otherwise completely cut off from the outside world. If you want some time alone, get away from it all with nothing but your own thoughts for company, I recommend sandblasting the inside of a frac tank.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
That's a little slice of hell you got in there.
And this is going to be our paint area.
Sure.
We're going to be coating the underside.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what sits on the ground when it's in service.
Right.
So it needs good protection. We're going to be using a coal tar epoxy. This is your head sock. And your respirator. Eye protection. There you go. You're ready.
All right. Proper procedure.
Proper procedure. Put the paint where it ain't.
Sounds good. What
you want to do is get it in the crack.
That wasn't good, was it?
That's filling in that profile.
Right. This just may be the most dangerous smelling thing I think we've ever done. The fumes down here are it's just incredible. I'm really not sure this is a good idea at all.
fact, I'm sure it's not.
Really?
Bad idea.
Now we need to go on inside.
Now you want to try and keep your gun perpendicular to your surface.
Even though circulation fans are operating, the fumes in here are much worse than they were outside. I don't know how these guys do this.
Well, I get a little closer. The closer you are, the better. You know, that's about right there.
A tank this size holds over 15,000 gallons of water.
Really, what we're doing is coating. I mean, we got to create really an airtight seal in here, or watertight.
Right. You want to protect your steel, keep it from corrosion.
Normally, my chief concern would be protecting my lungs from corrosion. Sadly, I left my lungs in tank number two.
Usually an apprentice, when he first starts out, it takes him about a year and a half to get to the point where you're at right now before they even let him pick up a gun.
A year and a half. You know what? I'm going to take that as a hint. I've been here barely a day. The fumes are making me a little loopy. And I definitely know when I'm outclassed. Paul, I'm going to make my way out.
Okay.
You guys stick around. We'll watch an expert do his thing.
Tell you what, I've seen a lot of bad things, touched a lot of bad things, tasted a lot of bad things, but I don't believe I've ever smelled anything that dangerous.
Every single job I attempted today was a dismal failure. I didn't finish one thing I started. Paul, right now, is still inside this monstrosity with his paint gun, going through what I believe to be the eighth or maybe ninth level of hell. As for me and the crew, our butts are kicked. We're going home. Goodbye.
Here on Dirty Jobs, we're constantly on the lookout for places best described as vile, disgusting, gross, wretched, foul, fetid, fumid, foggy, and filthy. If you know of a place that fits that description, drop me a line at discovery.com/dirty jobs. Do it right now. You'll have my eternal filthy gratitude. Much obliged.
It's okay. Yeah, mine was stinging for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, so is mine. It goes away. I think it's mainly salt water and bentonite and sulfuric acid.
Mix them until you like the fragrance and...
You're not going to finish that sentence, are you?
Mm-mm.
You've been leaving me hanging all day with that. Thought, dot, dot, dot.
That reminds me of another interesting point. Don't forget to...